What are the things in our lives that cause us to hold on? Have you thought about that? Letting go and letting God? Today we're talking about, oh, my aching heart. Has there been anything in your life that you've held on to that just will drive you to your knees? You know, the little things are the things in our lives that hold us back. That's the little things in our lives that hurt us the most. Isn't that interesting? I mean, we always try to look for the big things and say, well, let's get that out. But it's the little things that can just absolutely drive you to your knees. You know, when I get around some people, sometimes we sit around, we have these kind of discussions. I know I'm getting older because the discussions go like this. Oh, my foot. Oh, my aching foot. Oh, that's nothing, Pastor. My pancreas. I just had, oh, that's nothing, Pastor. I just had, you know, you're getting older when your topic of conversation is you're outdoing each other about your latest pain and surgery. That's getting bad. You know, and people sometimes say to me, they go, oh, you've had nothing until, and I'm like, you know what, stop complaining. Quit your whining. You know, I was talking to some people, and they were talking about this, and I hear people say this. Oh, I had this, and it was so painful. I said, you got to be kidding me. You know what it is? The biggest thing, the biggest pain I hear from people is, Pastor, I had a kidney stone. I'm like, whatever. Whatever, you had a kidney stone. And then Christmas Eve this last year. So to all of you who've had a kidney stone, I'm going to say right now, I'm sorry. My family, Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day, we do all the family stuff, you know, we're doing the whole dinner, and we did all the gifts and all that stuff. And Christmas afternoon, we're sitting around, and we do something that we've just never really done before. We said, hey, you know what, we got all the family here, let's go out to a movie. So we go to a movie. I don't even remember what we saw. We're sitting in the theater that evening, and it surprised me how many people go to movies on Christmas Day. But I was told by the owner there, or the guy that runs it, he says, this is a busy day. We're sitting in this movie, having a great time. As we're sitting there with the popcorn and all the stuff, the movie starts. And I looked over at my wife, and I said, I don't feel so good. Now, that was the moment where I should have said, something is wrong. She looks at me, she goes, shh. Compassion 101. About a half an hour goes into the movie, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my chest hurts. Oh, my aching heart. Ugh. And I'm trying to hold my breath. I think, I'm going to pass out. This pain starts getting so big, I think I'm having a heart attack. I look over at my wife, and everybody's lined up. They're into the movie, and I said, I can't breathe. My chest. Shh. I said, I think we need to go. I think we need to go now. We just bought tickets. No, this is my story. Indulge me. I'll get it later. Okay. This is the way I remember it. Be quiet. We're watching the movie. But I think I'm having a heart attack. I don't know what's going on. Halfway, three-quarters way through, I'm on my knees in the theater, holding on to the back of the chair in front of me. I can't breathe. I can't move. I said, we got to go. We got to go now. We get up. We take off. We get to the ER. I'm laying there, and they quickly diagnose what's going on in the ER. And so, again, for those of you that have had this pain, I sympathize with you now. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why I got it. In fact, I looked up. When they said, you have a kidney stone, it's 3 millimeters. I said, what is that, like a basketball? They said, it can imitate the pain of a heart attack. In fact, the lady looking at me, the nurse there, or doctor, whoever she was, I don't know, I was in so much pain. She said, honey, pastor, you have a kidney stone. I said, ugh. She said, I've had 3 kids. This is worse than giving birth to children. I said, I don't care what it is. Right now, you know what I need? Not prayer. I need drugs. Lots and lots of drugs. I don't care what you need to do. I don't care how big the needle is. Get it in me now.
When she's saying this is worse than giving birth to children, I'm thinking, okay, I remember my wife. We've got five. I know what she went through. And she had drugs. Give me the drugs. I got the injection. I'm sitting there. I looked it up. You know what was causing that pain that was causing me to probably not be a pastor in those moments? I was sitting there thinking, this has got to be just gigantic. I looked it up. A 3-millimeter kidney stone that caused me to be driven to my knees is the size of a grain of rice. How can something that small be killing me right now? I'm dying here. Some of you know what I'm talking about. How many of you know what I'm talking about? What are the things in your life that are driving you to your knees? I mean, I was in there. I was in the hospital for 3 days. I'm like, just do this and let's get this thing out. It's not passing. We're going to have to do surgery. We're going to have to do this whole thing and then da-da-da-da-da. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. This is a grain of rice. Just this thing ought to just go away. In fact, at 2 a.m., about two nights into this, oh, easy. Let me at least walk through this. I know I'm going to get the truth of the story. Let me just tell them what I remember. I was seeing angels. She's over here going, that's not true. God will forgive me. No, I'm in the hospital. This is my person. I'm there. The truth of it, I don't remember what night it was. First night? It was the first night? It was only the first night? Oh. I'm there, and some people, nurses in the church here, a couple of you, were my nurses. That was embarrassing. I was at my finest with my robe and my screaming out and praying in tongues. I've never, honestly, break my arm. I'm okay. After that, I don't wish this on anyone. And I'm laying there. 2 a.m. and the pain comes. And I'm telling you, I couldn't breathe. I'm on the floor. I've got all the tubes in me and all the stuff that they had and this. And the pain medicine is not working. They said, we just gave you some. I said, I'm a big man. We need big drugs. And the nurse goes, we can't give you any more drugs. I wanted to say, listen, when I was in high school and college, I did drugs. I'm probably immune to what you get. I need more. But I didn't think that was the moment to have this discussion. This moment just simply needs action. She says to me, we can't give you any more. I said, you have to. It won't matter when I'm dead. Just do what you need to. She said, we can't. We can't get a hold of a doctor. It could be an hour. It's 2 a.m. And we can't possibly sign drugs to you right now. I grabbed. She left. I got up with my wonderful air-conditioned robe. I grabbed that wheeling. I'm already in so much trouble. I grabbed that thing that had the stuff that was being pumped into my body that was doing me no good, but I had to take it with me. I got up. I'm buckled over. I'm walking down the hallway. I'm on my way, and the nurse goes, what are you doing, sir? Pastor, get back in your room. I said, no, I'm done up here. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going down to the emergency room and checking myself in. She said, you can't. I said, oh, yes, I can. Just watch me. I don't mean to be rude, but if you can't give me the drugs, they can. Because I wasn't down there 15 minutes and they were injecting me. I'm going back. She had my doctor on the phone who said, give him drugs. It wasn't 15 minutes, I was back in my bed, and I was in happy land. A grain of rice caused me to pretty much be about as ungodly as I think I probably have been in a long, long time. I hope I wasn't rude, and I apologize to the staff afterwards, but I tell you what, I was in a bad place because of something so small in my life, and I thought, God, how can something so small in our life put us into such a bad place? Achan was in such a bad place in his life. He had gone into Jericho, this huge city. They had conquered it. God said, don't take my stuff. There are things devoted to me. Don't take them. And what did he do? He saw 100 pieces of silver. He found the bank vault was open and there was no teller and no security alarm system. He grabbed 200 pieces of that silver. And he went and he buried them in his tent. Isn't that interesting? We love to put our sin in our tent where, one, we have it where no one can see it, but we can't even enjoy it. We take what we want to not enjoy the life that we can't have. It's an amazing thing what we do. And those little things tore it up. The next thing we know, victory is gone. And I want to just share for a second. Let me just share this out of my heart so you can take this home. This truth can set you free. Some of you are wondering why God is not answering prayer. Some of you are wondering why you've lost the favor of God in your household. Can I tell you, when you bury the things of God, when you take sin or even the thing, sin is the sin of commission, and then the things of God are the sins of omission. You can't have either of those buried in your tent. You should not have sin in your household. That will destroy God's favor in your life. Okay. But you also can't take the things of God that are good things that are supposed to be set for him and mix them for yourself. Because that's exactly what happened. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says this. It says this. Stones are created. I asked my nurse, I said, how did I get a kidney stone? She goes, we don't know how they're formed. People say, oh, it drinks too much calcium. I don't hardly take any calcium. Well, it's from being, you know, not being hydrated. Why hydrate? I don't know where they came from, but they were there. Okay? I don't know where these things come from in our lives sometimes, but you know what? They're there. We have to deal with them. And you know what? They cause us, I think a lot of the things in our lives come from being selfish. So stones in our lives that stop God from working in our lives, here it is. Stones are caused by selfies. You guys know what a selfie is, right? Last night I had my mask on and every kid in line and outside as I was walking out, they were scared. And after they weren't scared, they were like, can we take a selfie with you? You know what a selfie is? Selfie was the number one word in the English language in 2013. It is now in the dictionary, selfie. You know what selfies are, right? Selfie, 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 selfie. These kids were like, hey, let's take a selfie. Man, we live in a world of selfies. And Achan got an Achan heart because he became selfie. This is about me, God, not about you, God. And you know what's amazing about selfies? Isn't that amazing? The number one word in our country last year is the word selfish, selfie. Isn't that amazing? You know what a selfie is? Me, 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 me. Some people, you change your selfies every day. Listen, I love you, but I know who you are. I don't need another who you are. Selfie. These kids are like, let's take a selfie. And so we do this, and I'm thinking, number one, it's not a selfie. A selfie is you. It's us. It's an usie, okay? This is no longer a selfie. The stone comes into his life because Achan takes a selfie, and selfies will destroy your life, spiritually speaking. He grabs the stuff and he buries it in his house. Look at what verse 11 says. Israel sinned. They violated my covenant, which I commanded. They have taken some of the devoted things, and what have they done? Look at the end. They put them with their own possessions. Here's what a selfie is. Here's what will destroy your life. Here's the things that will take victory and favor of God right away from you. You're wondering why things aren't happening? Here's one of the reasons why. We grab the things of God and we mix them as though they're ours. What are you taking that's God's and you're saying, well, that's mine? People, number one question they ask me, Pastor Mitch, you have a church, yep. Whether it's Grace, whether it was Hillside, whether it was Cedar Valley in Iowa, it doesn't matter what church. Number one question, how big is your church? How many people go to your church? My answer is probably pretty simple. I think about a billion. What do you mean? Did you ask me how many people go to church? Well, no, I want to know how many people go to your church. Yeah, my church. Well, it's not my church. It's not mine. I don't take the things of God and mix them with mine as if it's mine. This is not my church. My church is God's church, and it's his church. And how many attend? But I want to know how many go to your church. Well, the minute we say it's my church, then I have now taken the things of God and I've mixed it as though it's mine. Like, I've done this. Like, somehow I have a responsibility here. I don't. God is the shepherd. I'm simply his servant. My church meets over on Lapeer. My church meets on Pine Grove. My church meets in Marysville. My church meets in Capec. My church meets in Sarnia. My church is in India. My church is in Africa. My church is huge because it's God's church. It is not my church. I don't want a selfie and saying, why don't we name this Mitch Olson Ministries? It's not my church. It is God's church. Wow. And now, are you ready for this? I'm going to say something that's not going to make me popular this morning. Are you mixing God's things as though they're yours? Do you know that we live in a world that wants to take God's things and mix them all the time? We live in a place where people are like, that's mine. That's my house. That's not your house. That's God's house. Wait a minute. When you sacrifice and give your life to God, everything you have is his, is it not? Everything you have on this planet, your life, your very being, the oxygen, the trees, the weather, your house, your children, your cars. Oh, those are my cars. How many cars do you have? I don't have any cars. What do you mean you don't have any cars? Those are the Lord's. He lets me drive them. And if they break down, God, your cars are broken. You're going to need to pay for a mechanic. And so, I mean, we can kind of go, oh, he says that a lot. He jokes around. I'm absolutely, totally serious. Those are not my cars. Well, what about that house? That house over on Lowton Drive is not my house. That's God's house. The minute I say that's my house, I'm taking the things of God and I'm mixing it as though it's mine. God provided that house. Listen, I don't own a house that's made out of sticks and wood. I have a mansion in heaven waiting for me. Right now, I'm just taking care of God's house. I'm taking care of God's car. I'm taking care of God's children, and I'm about to say something that right now you may not like, but you know what, folks? I am not here to be popular. I'm not here to even be well-liked. I'm here to proclaim the truth of God's word, and if you like that, God bless you, but I'm here to let you know something. We are mixing the things of God with the things in our own possession as though we own them. We have to stop doing that. We wonder why God's favor isn't breaking through. God's not hearing. 36 people are killed. That's the first time when they went up to fight the next battle because of this sin, 36 people die. There has never been in the Bible until this moment defeat. Now there's defeat. Defeat will come into your life the minute you start mixing God's things as though they're yours and taking selfies. We see it all the time. I see it all the time in finances. People go, this is my income. I have a great job and I make. How much money do you make? I don't make any money. God is in charge of my job. God provides us. This is God's vineyard. He lets me manage it. Whether you're a janitor, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, a teacher, you are, that is God's. He's made you manager at that high school. He's made you manager at that grocery store. He's made you manager at that wherever you are. And he is the owner of it. And out of that, I simply give to God the devoted things. I say, God, 100% of this is yours. And he lets me manage 90% of it. And I give him my tithes and offerings. No wonder why God says, you've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. And now I know right now I'm kind of swinging punches, but let me just keep going as long as I'm at it. We are taking the things of God as if somehow those finances are mine and that vineyard is mine. It's not yours. If you are a believer in Christ, that is God's. And if you take and mix that with yours, you're wondering why God isn't doing victory in your life, because you don't have victory dances when you take the things of God and claim them as your own. Oh, I can tell you on the Sabbath, I'll tell you the biggest one in America today, and I'm going to wrap this up. The biggest one in America today is this. People say to me, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Or people miss church, they'll just go to a football game, or they'll go do this, and they'll go do that, and they'll do something, and they'll not go to church. I say, wow, you missed church. Did you ask God for forgiveness? Did you repent of that? Say, I'll never do that again. What are you talking about, Pastor? People don't go to church all the time. I'm going to make a statement that I don't think I've ever made in 29 years ever as being a pastor. You don't go to church, no. Do you know that that's the Lord's? That is his devoted thing. The Sabbath day was devoted by God in the very beginning on the seventh day, and he set it aside as a day of worship and holiness that we would honor God through that by joining together in corporate worship. Well, I don't have to do that. So you've taken that day and said, you've mixed it with your own day, and you said, that's my day. I work hard all week, so I'm going to take that day, and that's really my day. It's not your day. I'm going to tell you right now, it is the Lord's day. If you are a follower of Christ, You are lying to God. I don't meet people ever that repent over going to church hardly. They're like, I just don't go to church. It's not a big deal. Well, maybe not to you, but to God, it is a devoted thing. It is a holy thing. It is His thing. And I took that and I buried it right in my tent, and I decided not to go. Wow, that's about it. You got the right hook and you got the left jab. I'd like to tell you I'll apologize for that, but if I apologize, I'm lying before God. I cannot apologize to you for this. I think the Bible says in the New Testament, some of you have fallen asleep and gotten very sick because you have desecrated the Lord's day. Isn't that interesting? Why would Paul even say something like that? Because scientists and doctors know today that people who attend church on a regular basis live 7 years longer than everybody else. So is it healthy to go to church? Yes. Why? Because God brings victory and covenant into certain things that He says. And if we throw those things out as though they're mine, I have stolen from God. Well, you're just saying that to get me to go to church. No, I'm not. You're just saying that so you'd give money to the church. I really don't care if you give a dime or a penny. That's between you and God. Whether you're here on Sunday or not, just as long as you're in a place, whether you're at the Baptist, the Methodist, we pray for them all the time. I don't care where you go. As long as you're in God's house, a place of corporate worship where they break bread, sing songs, share the scripture, and they go with their hearts full of gladness and joy is what the scripture says. Jesus did every Sabbath. I'm going to do it every Sabbath. God commanded it. That's just the way it is. Why? Because we are losing victory in our lives because we are mixing the things of God with our own. And it's the little things. It's the little things that are destroying us. The grain of sand. I don't want a grain of sand to destroy my life. So you know what they did? Let me close with this. I'm going to close the service with this. I just don't think that... How did we... When they got rid of my kidney stone, I said, is there a way to do this? And they said, yeah, we're going to do surgery. You know what happens when something small gets in your life, like a parasite? We had some guys when we were in Guatemala, a couple of team members got the parasite. I don't know if it was from the food we ate. That one day it was really good, but we're not sure because the chickens were running around one day and then they were gone the next. Remember that? And the water there was like, please don't touch it, but I know we were washing with it. Two of our members got really bad parasites. You can't even see them. They're so small, you can't even see them. The one lost so much weight. He was hospitalized, lost tons and tons of weight, and he didn't need to lose any weight. But for weeks and weeks and weeks, it messed up his entire system. Isn't that what parasites do in our lives? Little things in our lives just ruin. I mean, we can't have victory. We're not where we need to be. We're not healthy where we need to be following God. Achan, they took Achan. They took his whole family. They stoned him. And then they burned them. Like, God, that was brutal. Then I got to thinking about this. When a parasite or something little gets into my life that's not supposed to be there, you know what my body does? Goes to a fever. You know why your body goes to a fever? Because in the body, when something abnormal is there, your body fights it. And to fight it, it creates a fever to get rid of it. Your body is... God used fire to get rid of the sin. 212 degrees. That's what we should have done. We should have boiled all the water at 212 degrees. They say, you do that, you have now cleansed the water. I believe in our lives this morning, if there's something in your home, if there's something in your life, if there's something that's just eating you up, maybe you need a fire to cleanse your heart, to get that out. When's the last time you've been on fire? Oh, God. Light a fire in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. God, light a fire in me. Fires cleanse. Boil in me. If you've never been on fire for God, maybe that's why you have things in your life that aren't gone, because you've not let God consume your life. John Wesley in the 1700s would go out to the minefields. His buddy says, hey, you should come preach out here. George Whitfield said, join me. He'd go out. The next thing he knew, 20, 30, 40,000 men and women going into these minefields, covered in soot, just smelly, the lower end of life kind of people, the low end going into these minefields. And before they'd go in the caves, he got there at 5 o'clock, did his devotions. At 6 o'clock, he preached to the crowds. No microphones, no lights, no music, no Sonia. And thousands came out to hear him. A reporter came to him and said, Mr. Wesley, why? why in the world? How do you get tens of thousands to hear you preach? The churches are empty, and they're coming out to hear you preach. And he said, I don't know. And he said this, I guess I just light myself on fire, and people come to watch me burn. You know, maybe that's what we need to do in our homes. Maybe you just need to go home and say, what's in my house? Let's stand and pray. What's in your house?